If Jesus says He's the Son of God, then I'm saying He is the Son of God. I accept Him as He is. I mean, if you came to me and introduced yourself to me, and you say that you're a medical doctor, then I begin to call you a doctor. I accept what you say and I call you that way. But if I were to challenge you and I say, no, I don't believe it, then that prevents you from being who you really are to me. Perhaps you may have skills to impart medical advice to give. See, that prevents it. So it starts with the accepting part. How do we accept? Mark chapter 4 says, who accept the word. Look at Mark 4 again. See, there's only one parable in the Gospel of Mark that is emphasized. And that's this parable. Because this parable unveils what he's trying to say. In Mark 4, he says, verse 20, these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it. They take it for what it is. I mean, if Jesus says He's the Son of Man, yes, you're the Son of Man. You're the Son of God, yes, you're the Son of God. And so Jesus was revealing Himself to His disciples, and at one point they were struggling and say, who is this man? Who is he who could stop the wind and the seas? They're still wrestling with who He is. And finally, this Peter guy, now, he say it and he may not fully understand it. But the saying part is important. How were we born again? We were born again because we heard the gospel. We responded to the gospel. Somebody tell us that Jesus died for our sins, what He did. And we open our mouth, we believe in our heart, and we say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. We don't understand who Jesus is fully. We only know about Him. We only heard about Him. But what we did was, it needs the mouth to confess unto salvation. We believe unto righteousness and confess unto salvation. When we open our mouth and confess, and when we say who He says He is, that's what the gospel is about. God says who He is, and we agree with God and say, God, that's who You are. So Peter began to say that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Jesus had revealed Himself to him. But he didn't understand who Jesus is. He only say who He is. But that begins a process of understanding who Jesus is. Immediately after that, in verse 31. Now from Mark 8 verse 31, the whole change is there. Jesus now got what He wanted. As long as His disciples say who He is, the door is open for God to work in their lives. Although they may still stumble along the way, but as long as they keep saying who He is, you may stumble along the way when you say Jehovah Jireh with nothing in your pocket. And you say, Jehovah is still Jireh. And you keep saying, He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. Doesn't matter how I feel, what I feel. He is Jehovah Jireh. Lifting up your hand and say, thank You, He is Jehovah Jireh. And you continue saying, He is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh will show up. Whatever you say He is to you. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. This Peter, he just said He is Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Son of the living God says He's going to suffer and die. And this Peter says, no, no, you're not going to die. Took Him aside and scolded Jesus. The first step is to say who He is. But that's only just the beginning. We must allow Him to be who He is. Saying who He is one thing. Now, there are many who won't say who he is, so they never got that blessing. But saying who he is, the first step, letting him be who he is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he knows what he is doing. And Peter was sort of stumbled. And in verse 33, Jesus turned around, looked at his disciples, rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." Do you notice a spiritual battle going on? Do you notice, in case you never noticed, do you notice Matthew 16 and in this verse here? Jesus had just said the Father, the Spirit of the Father had revealed to Peter. The Holy Spirit had been working. Many times I know when the Holy Spirit works, there's a spiritual battle going on. Because Satan will not allow a revelation of God to go unchallenged. Look at Matthew 16. Very carefully. Jesus said in verse 17, "Flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." And immediately, you see in verse 23, just a few seconds later, Peter was yielding to the devil. What was the devil doing? The devil will challenge every revelation that you have and receive from God. That is why when we give an invitation for people to receive Christ, there is a spiritual battle that immediately begins. And we Christians must pray when you're in an evangelistic crusade. There's a battle that begins. Because people are going to open up their hearts and take Jesus for who he is. But they're going to be challenged. This is a systematic thing that is present in the Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul himself make this statement. Verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan." Look at that. When Paul received those revelations from God, immediately Satan comes to prevent that revelation. Because Satan knows that the moment we see him and accept him for who he is, something is going to change in our life. So he tries to cloud our understanding. We say who he is, but we don't fully understand what he wants to do and who he wants to manifest and in what way. So Satan tries to cloud that part. Instead of remaining open to God, we begin to cloud. Like Peter gets clouded here in Mark chapter 8. And the disciples all began to feel and interpret who Christ is in their own way. Now they went over about the other side. So on this side, Jesus is building them to accept who he is. At first they didn't dare to say, they were fearful. Say, who is this man? Who is he? Who is he? Others say that he's this, others say that he's that. And the Pharisees say that he's this and that, and he's a blasphemer, and he's a publican. They say all kinds of things about Jesus. But the disciples, they're struggling. Finally, they reach a point of saying who he is. Now, we can be pushed to the other extreme when we recognize who he is to begin thinking that the who he is going to do what we think he should do. Instead of continuing to keep a listening ear. So all the disciples were now saying, together with Peter, "No, he is Christ, the Son of the living God. He is Christ, the Son of the living God." And all of them go into a different ego trip. They begin to think, that's wonderful. He is Christ, the Son of the living God. Straight away, something happened that never happened before. They began to have divisions in their midst. They began to quarrel in their midst. And this is where in Mark chapter 9, Jesus showed them that the Christ was going to die on the cross. But not a single one of them understood. Let me point to Mark chapter 9, verse 31. He repeats it again. Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 32. "Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after his kill he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. They had confessed who he is, but they don't understand. Many times people had confessed that he is Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, but we don't understand how he's going to heal us. And we began to limit God and began to put on God how he's going to heal us, what he's going to do, and we began to limit God. We had recognized him as Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. But we began to tell him how he is to provide for us. He may want to provide in this manner. We say, no, this manner better. And he may say, you know, I want you to do this project here. And we say, no Lord, I'm not interested in that. That one got too much suffering. I want this one. So we have got past the first stage, but we haven't got the other stages yet. We don't understand how he works. We don't understand how Jehovah Rapha is going to bring perfect health to our life, but we know he will. So the disciples did not understand. And you notice here, in chapter 9, Jesus asked them a question in verse 33. See, because they didn't understand, these things happened. In verse 33, Mark 9, verse 33, he came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? Now, on the road, earlier on, when they had confessed that he was a Christ, the Son of the living God, immediately after that, there was a big discussion. Since he's Christ, the Son of the living God, they were fighting who was the greatest after him. All along the way, they were saying, who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. You're the greatest. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the one. And when they reached home, Jesus didn't say anything along the way. But when they reached Capernaum, Jesus turned to them and said, what did you all discuss on the way? And everyone was very quiet. So Jesus sat down and said, if anyone desires to be great, first he shall be the last of all and servant of all. Verse 36, he took a little child and he said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. He tells them that greatness has to do with being like a little child. You know what a little child does? A little child accepts the reasoning of their father. Being a little child is to accept the reasoning of God the Father. Do you know that God does reason with us? He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So, except that we must accept his reasoning. And Jesus is showing that we must be like a little child. Remember in other Gospels, he talked about how he revealed to babes. And he typifies disciples like babes. He said, many wise men and many prophets have desired what you have heard. But I say, you know, it's revealed to babes. We know who he is, but we must learn to understand how he works, what he does, and let him be who he is. Now, in chapter 10, that question was still not settled. Because in chapter 10, Jesus again mentioned about his death and resurrection, verse 32. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside and began to tell them the things that will happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise. Now in verse 32, they were still amazed, they were still stunned at the revelation of God. Wonder whether it has ever happened to you. When God revealed himself to you, you're stunned. You just couldn't conceive, couldn't really understand. But you do accept. And immediately after that, in verse 35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came and said, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Sounds interesting? He says, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And they said, "One of us will sit on your right hand, the other..."